just want to talk about Jesus today. We all should want to talk about Jesus. It should be on our hearts and on our lives all the time, just to talk about Jesus. We shouldn't be ashamed of that name. We shouldn't be embarrassed about that name. We should want to be talking about him all the time. People should be hearing us talk about Jesus all the time. And so we're going to read this passage of scriptures from Luke chapter 4, 14 to 21. It's really the reading of another passage of scripture out of the book of Isaiah 61. Here he says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.' He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. And then he began to speak to them. 'The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day.'" Father, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you that, Lord, you speak to us through the word of God. I pray that you would speak to us again through your word here today as we look to your word and what it has to say about Jesus. So, Lord, just help us, we pray. Open up our eyes. Open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about Jesus. And as Christians, he really should be our favorite person to talk about at any time. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is our Lord. He is our God. He's everything we need. And he's also everything that this world needs. Many of them don't realize that yet, but he is. He's everything that we need. And so we need to be talking about Jesus more that our world might hear that Jesus indeed is the answer to our lives. Even when we don't have what we think are the answers, or even when we don't know what to say or what to pray, I keep hearing the Lord say, just talk about me. If you get worried about what am I going to say to that coworker, what am I going to say to my neighbor, what am I going to say to those other people that don't know Jesus, just start talking about him. Just start talking about him, and he'll help you along with the rest of it. And so this morning, we're just going to do that. We're just going to talk about Jesus and use this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 4 to talk about who is Jesus. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus is back in his hometown of Nazareth, and where he grew up with Joseph and Mary, and the Bible says, along with his brothers and his sisters. And he went to the local synagogue, the Jewish church, which was his usual practice, which is kind of good for us to take note of because Jesus was a regular church synagogue attender. So were his disciples. And so if Jesus and the disciples needed a weekly service, guess what's that saying about us as well? We do too. Anyways, Jesus went to the front of that synagogue to read the scriptures, which was part of their weekly practice. This was a normal thing that took place in the synagogue. And Jesus read Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, a passage that is considered a messianic passage, speaking of the Messiah that is to come. And so Jesus reads this passage and then declares that this passage has been fulfilled in their hearing this very day. And so Jesus was identifying himself here before the people of Nazareth, his hometown, that he is the Messiah, the chosen one sent from God to bring salvation to the world. And the people, they clearly understood what he was saying. But their unbelief caused them to reject Christ and to consider his words as blasphemy. And they mobbed him. And they grabbed him and they took him to a cliff that if you come to Israel, you'll see that cliff that they were going to take him to the cliff and kill Jesus and throw him off that cliff. But then the Bible says that simply a moment happened. A moment took place. A suddenly took place. And Jesus simply passed through the crowd and went his way. I'm sure that they were all looking around at each other and saying, what just happened? We're all in unity. We were going to kill Jesus. And all of a sudden we're just standing here and he just walks on by and he goes down the mountain and we're still on top of the mountain. What happened? A suddenly took place. He suddenly took place. And so as we look at this passage here, and as we look at this passage about Jesus, we're trusting this morning that it's going to help you and encourage you to talk about Jesus. Because he is real. And he is the one that has been promised from our scriptures. And as we look at this passage, it really does tell us very clearly about Jesus, who Jesus is. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, just to remind you, who is Jesus? Let's talk about him. Well, first of all, Jesus is the carrier of the Spirit of God. He has God's stamp of approval over him. He is the one that God has chosen and in whom God's Spirit rests on him. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the all-powerful God, the Almighty God, is upon Jesus. And Jesus was declaring that day that this is true, that the Spirit of God is upon me, that I am from God, and that God's Spirit rests on me, and that I am the promised one from God that has been prophesied out of this scripture in the book of Isaiah 61. So Jesus was declaring to those people that day in his hometown that he is the fulfillment of the promise that a Messiah would come, that a Savior would come into this world. And he's telling them, this scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. This is true today, and I'm that person. Well, as they heard that, as we said, that they didn't receive that too well. They understood what Jesus was saying, but because that, you know, I'm in their hometown, and, well, hey, we know Jesus. Yeah, we've seen him grow up in this town. He's not the Savior. He can't be the Messiah. And because of that, unbelief rose up inside of them, and they were rejecting Christ. But make no doubt here today, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the one that has been prophesied to come thousands of years before. He is the fulfillment of scriptures, and he is the one that is sent from God and is the carrier of the Spirit of God. John 3:16 and 70 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus was declaring, I am that Savior. I am that one that was sent from God. We need to understand that. We need to not just, you know, see that as a placard card somewhere, is that Jesus came into this world. We need to understand that it's true. God did love this world so much. God did send his Son. And Jesus, that very day, as he stood in that synagogue, was saying, I am the one. I am that Messiah. I am that sent one. So this is what he was declaring before the people that day, that he was the chosen one of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And that's good for us to understand and acknowledge that Jesus is that carrier of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is upon him. He is the chosen one that has been sent from God into our world to save us and to deliver us from our sins. Secondly, as we talk about Jesus in this passage, we see that Jesus is the carrier of the anointing. He is the one that is dedicated, consecrated, and empowered by God. Luke 4:18 again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Jesus is the anointed one. That's another name for the Messiah that the Jewish people were very familiar with. They understood that when Jesus was saying, I am the anointed one, they understood that he was saying that I am indeed the Messiah. So this all comes from a messianic passage back in Isaiah 61, as we said. So Jesus is that one who's been consecrated, he's been dedicated, he's been marked by God, he's been chosen by God, anointed by God, powered by God to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That anointing comes from God himself. He is the anointed one of God, which is essential so that he can do the work that he's been called to do. The source of the anointing is God. Without that anointing, Jesus would have no power to do what he was doing. And then to prove it, that that anointing had indeed come upon him, we see that Jesus was healing people, delivering people, raising people from the dead. So he was proving to the world around him, he wasn't just proclaiming it, he was also demonstrating it before the people. The Apostle Paul, he speaks of that in Acts chapter 10, 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus. He was the anointed one chosen by God to be the Savior of the world. And he proved that. He proved that by what he did. And so again, that's something that we need to recognize and acknowledge, that that's our Jesus. He is indeed the real person. He is indeed the one that was really chosen by God to be the only Savior of the world. That is why. So we want to experience, more of that anointing. More of that anointing in our own lives. We want to see more healings, miracles. Then it really needs to be obvious that we need to seek the one on whom the anointing of God rests upon. Jesus carries the anointing of God. If we really want more anointing, you want to be empowered more in your life, just get closer to Jesus. Just get closer to him. Just experience more of Jesus. Do what you have to do to get more of him in your life. And if you have more of him in your life, you'll have more anointing in your life. Then thirdly, as we talk about Jesus in this passage, we see that Jesus is the carrier of the good news. Luke 14, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. So Jesus is the carrier of the good news from heaven. What is good news? Good news is that which is positive, encouraging, and life-changing. It's too bad that the local news people wouldn't understand that when we turn on the news at night, that it's supposed to be encouraging, it's supposed to be positive, and it's supposed to be life-changing. But what do? Instead, we bring news that is discouraging, depressing, and no encouragement whatsoever. It's not life-changing at all. Well, Jesus says, I am here to bring you good news from heaven that is positive, that is encouraging, and that is life-changing. It was something that was even proclaimed by the angels of heaven when Jesus was born. Back to Luke chapter 2, a couple chapters back, it says, but the angels reassured the shepherds. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The good news is that there is a Savior who can save us from the judgment of sin and death. That there's a Savior that can bring new life and purpose into our lives. That there's a Savior who has the Spirit of God upon him, who's anointed by God, chosen to be the Savior of the world, chosen to deliver us from our sins and show us the way to God in heaven. The good news is Jesus. So when you're worried about, well, how do I tell people about the good news? What do I say? Just talk about Jesus. Because Jesus is the ultimate. He is the good news. Without Jesus, there is no good news. Because there is no salvation. There is no deliverance. There is no freedom from our sins. The good news is Jesus has come. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And as Jesus came, he began to spread and proclaim that good news, that he was the truth, that he was the light, that he was the way to God, that he was the Savior, that it was chosen by God to redeem the world. It was his mission to proclaim, to evangelize, to tell the world that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the way to heaven. His mission was to speak the truth to all that were poor in spirit and all those that needed a Savior, and to proclaim that he was that way. A mission that Jesus passes on to us in Mark 16, 15, where he tells us, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. It's good news to everyone. It's for everyone. It's not just for certain people. It's not just for certain nationalities. It is for all the world. God so loved the world that he gave his son. We are to proclaim the good news to everyone. Amen. That's what we're to do. Want to get familiar with the good news? Get familiar with talking about Jesus. That's all you got to do. And then you begin to share the good news with others. Get to know the one who is the good news. Get to know the one who is the carrier of the good news, Jesus Christ. And as you do, you'll find it way easier to start sharing Jesus with the people that are around you, with the people that don't know Jesus as of yet. Fourthly, talking about Jesus in this passage, we see that Jesus is the carrier of deliverance, our rescuer, our liberator from the powers of darkness. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. And that's really what deliverance is about. Captives, people bound by sin, people imprisoned by sin, being rescued, people being set free, people being liberated from the powers of our enemy, people that were blind to the truth, that suddenly their eyes get opened, suddenly there's a truth encounter that they experience, people that are tormented, people that are bound, people that are chained and oppressed by sin and shame, get their chains broken. That's what deliverance is about. That's what Jesus wants to do. He doesn't want you to stay in those conditions. He wants to set you free. He wants to break your chain. He wants to be your rescuer. So Jesus was declaring that day that I'm that person. I am that Messiah. I am that sent one that has been prophesied to deliver people from the bondages of life and the bondages of sin. And Jesus truly did that. He opened the eyes of those who are spiritually blind so they could see the truth. And the truth began to set them free. And as you experience spiritual truth, it then transfers over into physical truth. So you want to experience healing, then you experience the Lord himself. And as you experience him, it opens the door to healing. Not just to the spiritual eyes to see, to physical eyes to see, and other miracles that Jesus will do. And that's what Jesus did. And he proved that he was who he said he was. From spiritual to physical, Jesus demonstrated, I am the deliverer. I am that one that sets people free. It's interesting that even John the Baptist, when he was in prison and he knew he was going to die, and he sent some of his disciples back to Jesus, and he was looking for assurance. Jesus, are you really the one? And we might kind of wonder, well, why would this man of tremendous faith all of a sudden come to that place where he doubted? Well, friends, when you are faced with death, you will find that there's sometimes those moments where you begin to worry, because your faith is going to become sight real quick when you realize you're about to die. And so sometimes, you know, even as Christians, we cry out and say, oh, Lord, is it really true? Is it really true? And just as Jesus answered him, I believe he will answer you. And at that time comes for you as well, that he will speak to you and bring that comfort. Jesus said to them, he said, go back to John. Tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. So basically what Jesus was telling John's disciples was, go on back and tell them that, yes, I am the Messiah. Look at what I am doing. See the things that I am doing. It will confirm to you that your faith is in the right place. You know, it was interesting as I read that passage and I used that passage. I think it was 2 years ago now, where I went to the conference there in Bonneville, and they asked me to pray. And I just felt that I was to make that a declaration over our communities and over this region, that God would begin to move, that the people begin to hear and see, that the blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is being preached. That's what Jesus came to do. He is the carrier of deliverance. delivering us from sin, delivering us from sickness, delivering us from disease, delivering us from bondages, delivering us from addictions, delivering us from spiritual blindness, delivering us from spiritual darkness, delivering us from the lies of the enemy, and setting us free and leading us into truth encounters with signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what Jesus does. He is our chain breaker, as that song that's on the radio says as well. He is our deliverer. Then lastly, in talking about Jesus in this passage, Jesus is the carrier of favor. Luke 4:19, in the time of the Lord's favor has come. And see, this is speaking of Jesus being the one that carries favor into our lives. It's telling us that Jesus has friendly regard towards us, that he's granting us excessive kindness, unfair partiality, preferential treatment towards us. Many people think that they can't come to God. They think God is mad at them, or God hates them, or God wouldn't want to talk to them. And Jesus said, listen, there is a time of favor. I'm bringing you a time of favor. I'm bringing you a time of grace that you can come to me and that you might receive me and believe in me. It goes along with the idea of a jubilee, the Jewish jubilee, where debts were forgiven and slaves were set free every 50 years. But the difference is Jesus has been offering us to forgive us of our debts of sin for all eternity. Not just for another 50 years, but for all eternity. He's offering us freedom from the consequences of slavery of sin, of the judgment of sin, breaking off guilt, breaking off shame, forgiving us, granting us a new lease on life. Jesus is offering us a new jubilee of salvation, where grace is being extended to us so that we can experience truth, so we can experience forgiveness of sin, that we can experience God in our lives. It's a grace as it's extended to us where judgment is delayed that more people can repent and come to Christ. See, Jesus desires no one to perish. God does not want to see your neighbor or the person down the street or even the most wicked person in the world. God does not want them to perish. But he wants everyone to come to repentance of faith in him. We're living in a time of favor. But time is coming to a close. Time is coming when Jesus is going to return again. That return is going to bring salvation to those who are ready, that believe in him, and judgment to those who reject him. See, friends, we need to remember there is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. My friends, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where favor is being extended to us that we might accept Christ and believe in him. The return of Christ is very, very near. But the Lord is extending grace to you, trying to give us that opportunity that the world can respond and that the world will come to him. But there will be a cutoff point. It will happen. Judy and I were talking with a pastor in the States. I think he was from Indiana. And he had resigned his church. He was the children's pastor and worship pastor. And he said there was a prophecy that came in their church. And it was a little girl, and she spoke up and prophesied that Jesus is coming back in 10 years. Now, he said, I'm not into dates and times, he said, but that so touched me. He said, I began to think, is this what I want to do in the next 10 years of my life? If I only got 10 years of my life left, what should I be doing? And he said, I felt to resign from that church and change my ministry because there's some things I believe that God still has put on my heart that needed to be accomplished. And he felt that the coming of the Lord was so close, even up to 10 years, that he said, it's time to get serious about the things of God. So a day of reckoning is coming where every one of us is going to give an account for what we have done. A day is coming when we're going to meet God face to face. And the question is, are we ready? Are we ready to meet God? Have we repented? Have we turned from our sin? Have we believed in Jesus Christ? Have we been serving him? Or have we allowed things to come in our lives where we have refused to believe? Where we have refused to surrender our lives and give our lives to Jesus Christ? Friends, Jesus has come to give us preferential treatment, giving us the gift of time so that we might turn to Him and express faith in Him. He is a good God and He desires to give every opportunity for us to respond to Him. But that will not last forever. I personally really believe that there's going to be one more massive move of God in our world. I believe there's going to be a massive move of God in our nation of Canada before Jesus is coming. Because I believe it's so soon. I think that the Lord is kind of tired of us that, you know, we keep summarizing this or thinking this way, and we got our opinions of this and our opinions of that, and we're not doing the job that He called us to do, to go out into the world and preach that gospel and share Jesus with other people. So He's encountering people. He's giving people visions. He's giving people's dreams. He's speaking to people, and they're sensing that, hey, God is here. God is touching my heart, and they're crying out for more of God. Well, that's the favor of God. That's the time of favor that we're in right now, but it's coming to a close. The time to serve Jesus is now. This is the time of favor. He brings favor into our lives. And so this morning, as we talk about Jesus, I hope that as we talk about Him today, that kind of encourage you, kind of reminded you that, yes, my faith is real. There is no other way. There is no other choice. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep serving Him. And I pray that you won't just say, I'm going to keep doing that. I would encourage you to press in. This is a season to press in. This is a season to experience more of God. God is wanting to do more. And He's looking for people to say, here am I, Lord. Use me. I'm willing to be used of God. Jesus Christ is who He said He was. The Spirit of the Lord is on Him. He is the anointed one of God. He brings good news into our lives. He delivers us. He sets us free and extends favor towards us, giving us time to come to Him. He really is a good God. He really is. Jesus is who He said He was. He proved it by what He said, how He lived, and through His signs and miracles, and of course, His greatest proof, the resurrection from the grave. Jesus is real. He's worth talking about. I'm so glad that He came, that He fulfilled scriptures that were written thousands of years before, offering salvation to all who would believe in Him. There's just so much we could say about Him. But I trust, friend, that you know Him, that you've received Him, that you've welcomed Him into your life, that you truly do believe that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that you have brought your sins to Him and said, God, I am sorry for the way I've been living. I'm sorry that, God, that I haven't been paying attention to you. I haven't been living my life. Well, I've been living my life if you don't even exist. May you recognize the truth today that He does exist, that He has come into this world to reach you, to touch you, to minister to you. In a few moments, as our musicians come back to the instruments, we're going to be celebrating communion. Well, what's communion about? It's about Jesus. It's about reminding ourselves. The Bible says to do it in remembrance of me. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to remember and remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us, that He took the bread and He broke it. Because He told us, this bread is going to represent my body, which was broken, which was crucified for you to pay for your sins. Not His sins, but for your sins. That cup would represent His blood. That we'd be reminded that it was by His blood that salvation really came. It was by His blood that forgiveness came. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's part of a sacrifice. Blood had to be spilt, and Jesus spilt that blood upon the cross. When we go to Israel, I'm making sure this time that we get to go where Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, and go to that place where you can still go today, and it's like a dungeon. where Jesus was tortured before he went out and was crucified, where Peter denied his Lord. And as you go down inside there, there is blood that's splattered in there from so many people that had been killed and tortured. It's literally into the walls, and you see it. Jesus did that for you and I.